And our gospel reading this day from the lectionary comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. And again, let us listen for the word of God. Now, as soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and then she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is why I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Well, perhaps the phrase "moving right along" and sort of paired with "immediately" could be used, I think, to describe Jesus' ministry here in the Gospel of Mark. Before Jesus even leaves the synagogue, he has healed not only where he is sensational in with his powerful preaching, he does also the powerful act of expelling a demon from a man in the crowd. And while the people are still talking about him, he goes next door to Simon's house, where he heals Simon's mother-in-law of her illness. And for whatever reason, she was in charge of hospitality in Simon's home. And upon being healed, she gets up and is restored to her place of hospitality and proceeds to cook a meal for them, which I sort of find somewhat ironic, because here is one who is very sick, who's healed, and automatically expected to serve, as if the men have not learned how to really take care of themselves. And some women may be saying, "How contemporary are the scriptures?" But moving right along, Jesus has hardly had a chance to complete his meal, and the whole city is gathered around outside of Simon's house. And he continues to heal and expel demons well into the night. As we know, the crowds always find him. And though he could stay there forever and have a successful career with opening up his own healing mega center, he sets out on a long journey, heeding a call that is not limited to one place or one time. In the first chapter of Mark, we see Jesus, one, in the wilderness. We see him at the river with baptism. We see him in the synagogue preaching, in the private home healing. And at last, he seeks some time for prayer, whether it's a prayer for quiet meditation or dealing with some pressing questions of ministry, wondering where his next stop will take him or where it should be, anguish over all of the suffering that he sees, or maybe it's getting away from the fact that everyone seems to want a piece of him. Maybe he's just trying to keep his sanity. But in the midst of that prayer time, here comes the blundering Simon again, who interrupts and says, "Hey, there's much more healing that needs to be done." And it's then when Jesus says, "Simon, we really have other places to go and other things to do. Mainly, we need to tell the good news to others, which is why I came." And the lesson ends with telling us that Jesus went all over Galilee preaching and healing. I think his purpose was clear. He was not about being a sensation, nor about being a success. He really had no desire to be popular. His purpose, as he declares, is really to proclaim his message. A singular message that the reign of God is at hand. And he will move on in his ministry in unexpected directions. He will set out to really change the world, even if his way is not going to be popular, or even if it's the very thing that will lead him to his death. Now, some theologians believe that Jesus knew what he would be facing, that the crowds would soon leave, that his disciples would become disillusioned, that Jesus would fall from really being the golden-haired hometown kid who was going to make everything right for everybody. He would turn out not to be the kind of Messiah or hero that the people had really hoped he would be, and the cross would be imminent. So that scenario of Jesus in the church never seems to change. And I think we often see it in church after church. As we are in this process, church is seeking clergy who will lead them into some glorious future. When the person arrives brimming over with all kinds of high ideals and boundless enthusiasm, it usually doesn't take long before someone is saying that we're really not going to change anything around here. But why does this happen? And Jesus, and all he wanted to do was preach the good news. And the good news always requires persons to change themselves before ever trying to change the world or other people. And so then, so often the good news really sounds like bad news to a whole lot of people. If the church truly seeks to become the body of Christ, the followers of Jesus, how do we live out our call to be healers, you see, to those who are gathered at our door? To all of those who are seeking healing, to those who are seeking God's mercy, to those seeking safe places to be able to build their lives, or to those who are seeking a loving and caring community. It is to those seekers that Jesus came to preach the good news. And we can be gifted with the hope that this day's reality does not have to be the last word. You see, we can really discover the joy of living by finding new ways of loving. For the kingdom of God becomes a reality within us when we realize that peace and joy and contentment is found in being able to live open and gracious lives, no matter what happens. See, our world desperately needs the healing and hope of the one who has gone on ahead of us. But we are also called to live in the example of Jesus, to be able to look with compassion and to move and to touch and to heal as did Jesus. There are many in need of healing and hope. How will the ministry of Jesus move you? Amen. Let us join our voices then in singing hymn number 345. Jesus calls us over the tumult. For those who are able, please stand.